the Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Hello. Hello. Paul Andrews.
You're right.
Oh, well, of course.
You got pizza all around your mouth.
I know, around my chops.
You got cheese stuck to your teeth.
Yeah, and little bits of, you know...
Sausage.
Yeah, and little bits of, what was in there? Everything, wasn't it? There was I guess it was chorizo of some sort.
And
probably a little Polish sausage, do you think?
Do you think it was? Was it Polish sausage?
Yeah, was it Polish sausage?
There's our secret. We cannot really say.
Have to strangle him to find out.
Secret owner.
That was Adam, who's brought in... he's come in with two boxes. Actually, yes. Not just one. Of course, Paul Andrews has eaten half of the first box.
I did not.
Yeah, I've had. I had one slice, which I was eating mindfully and enjoying it, and going, yum.
Were you being like a lady?
Were you being a lady?
Were you being delicate?
Yeah, but no, yeah. I was just tasting it, and meanwhile, you'd scoffed about four slices.
Yeah, well, see, I don't hang about.
I know. Well,
I don't hang about.
I had to be live.
I need to get it down my neck.
It was delicious, and one of them, because the Dover honey. What was the Dover honey, the spicy one?
It's a spicy and sweet pizza, yes.
So that's kind of misleading, isn't it? Because you think Dover honey is going to be like, oh, but actually it was quite spicy. Made my nose run. I had to go out and blow my beak.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
But I think that's a good thing, don't you? Clearing my nostrils.
I like a bit of spice.
I do. I love. In my old days, when I was younger.
God, that was a long time ago. Victorian, that was.
It was, yeah. In 1066.
Yeah.
I used to, Paul Andrews, be able to eat a vindaloo.
Did you?
Yeah, but I can't.
Can you eat it now?
No. My lips
Your
get
gums. Yeah, well, that's one of the problems of not having teeth, really, isn't it? Yeah.
my lips puff, which is great because it's like Botox, isn't it, for your lips or fillers or whatever young girls had. It's funny. I've got some very sad news, actually.
Oh, go on.
Well, my lovely cleaner's leaving me.
Oh, bummer.
And, you know, she's been with me for, I won't mention names, she's been with me for 3 years. And she's absolutely lovely. And she's one of the family.
Right.
And she's going on to pastures new. She loves us, but she's going to a career. she's been offered a career at a vet, so it's lovely.
As a vet?
At a vet. So
oh, at a vet. Gone. I thought that was a career change. Cleaner, vet, you know.
7 years. She's going to be running this surgery and all sorts of things. But she's lovely. So she told me that she's leaving. And, you know, it's like I got butterflies and this feeling of doom because we've got quite a large house and she runs it, you know, for me. I leave a little note with smiley faces.
Do you know, we've been trying to find a cleaner. We emailed 7 cleaning companies and not one of them has even replied.
Oh, my goodness.
I know.
That is bad.
I know.
Maybe you're going into junk. Have you thought of that? What? Junk. I'll tell you what I did anyway. It's even better. Junk. Maybe you're going in there junk.
Oh, I say,
mail.
No, I thought you were trying to imply that my house was full of junk and that's why they won't clean it.
Your house is lovely.
Which is probably true, but...
No, your house is lovely, except for your rat cloths.
Ah, that was your fault.
What happened was your fault. I threw a little party. Was that your 60th?
It was my 60th birthday party.
I threw a little surprise
party. She threw a party at my house.
Yeah, surprise party.
A surprise party at my house.
You'd gone out to buy things.
My sons took me to... the supermarket to buy things and every time I put something in the basket they took it out again. Oh, what are you doing? And they kept saying, no, you don't want to buy anything. Oh, why are we here? And then they went, oh, let's go home, there's nothing here. What are you doing, you idiots?
And he was in his shorts and flip-flops.
Yeah, I was.
And we were all hiding down the back passage, weren't we?
Yeah. It's always a good place to hide.
Quite a few of us. And then we all leapt out when you came in.
You did.
And you didn't look really that happy.
And I go, I hate parties. I hate parties. I go, what are you lot doing
and
here?
And a surprise clear party, off. Even worse.
Yeah.
Anyway, because it was me doing it, I felt I should, you know, clear up.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was rummaging around in his garage or something.
You were in the garage.
In your little garage. And I found sort of this cloth thing. And I used it to wipe the garden table that I'd got out of the garage.
Now, let me tell you the truth.
It was a rat cloth.
She found this piece of cloth in my garage and she brought it into the kitchen and wiped down all the surfaces with it. And when I walked in, I went, what are you doing with that? And she said, I'm wiping the surfaces down. I went, that's what I used to clear up the rat nest that was in the garage.
No, I've got a different story, listener. So I...
Yeah, but mine's the truth.
I've just remembered now. I got a clean cloth from under your sink.
Yeah.
And I went and wiped... the rat table that I got in your garage, which I didn't know was the rat table. So I got this lovely table, trestle table out, wiped it down with a clean cloth, not knowing. And then you said to me, oh, there's a few rats in that, rat droppings and things. And I had had by that time, by the end of the evening.
She was drunk.
I'd had a few snifters.
Yeah, because she'd been drinking since breakfast.
Yeah, just a little snifter. Well, you know, when you're putting on a party, you've got to get in the mood.
Yeah.
So I cleaned, I remembered in the middle of the night, and I texted you at 3 a.m. and said, I've just remembered I put the rat cloth under your sink and I didn't want you to use it.
Right.
That's how it happened.
And that was my 60th birthday and I'm nearly 70 now. So when the next one comes along, I'm just going away for the year.
That's I'll the just bring thing. Some blue roll next time.
Yeah.
My own cloths and things.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I was going to ask an important question. Actually.
Oh, were you? That makes a change.
Yeah. Oh, that pizza is just, I can't wait for
you
the break.
You keep slobbering, don't you?
I can't wait for the break. But now I'm fancying, because it's so lovely. And I love the old pepperonis and the cheeses.
Well,
and
I'm going to play cheesy tunage in a minute. And as soon as I get that cheesy tunage, I'm going for another slice.
Yeah, but you haven't tried the Dover honey one yet.
I haven't yet. No. I haven't finished that one yet.
Exactly. But now I'm thinking, you know, if somebody could drive me home, a little bottle of something would go very nicely.
Somebody could drive her home.
Yeah, a little bit
somebody
of Kentish.
Somebody could drive her home. I mean, there's
a little Kentish wine.
I'm teetotal, right? I'm teetotal. I don't
drink. Extremely useful.
Yeah, yeah. I get phone calls from her at like 3 a.m. Hello! What do you want? I'm in a nightclub and I've drunk too much. Can you come and pick me up and take me home? What am
the
I, a taxi?
When you had your Porsche, it was a bit hard to get squashed in there,
You couldn't get in it.
No.
That's why I bought a Porsche, because you couldn't get in it.
Oh, well, I could get in your Porsche, I could get one leg in, sort of sideways, but then it was...
Which was a laugh, taking her home drunk with one leg out the window.
Getting the left leg in was always... Because I've got a metal knee, you know, it's always,
you
can't squish it up too much.
Yeah.
Anyway, my question was, apart from pizza and wine and Kentish and everything... But the Dover honey, when you try it, is delicious. Is who might our sponsor be this week?
We haven't got one.
Really?
Yeah.
Are we sponsorless?
We're sponsorless this month because everyone's gone on holiday.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
So it's just you and me then?
Just you and me, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay.
And pizza.
I know.
And Will, of course. Because we completely ignored Will because he didn't bring food.
No,
because he's not a food company.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it's always if you want to get on the right side of us two fatties, we need pizza. We need pizza and cakes and donuts.
He hails from Broadstairs. He could have bought a stick of rock or something.
He could have done, yeah. But anyway, he's graced us with his presence, which is good enough.
Yeah, exactly. And even better, he didn't eat a slice of pizza.
He didn't, left more for me.
Wait. Not yet.
Exactly.
Yeah, he's waiting for his... he's on first, isn't he? And then he's just going to scoff the lot.
Exactly.
While we're chatting.
He's being circumspect, quite rightly too.
Circumspect rather than circumcised, I hope that was.
Oh, don't start that.
You know. Because my new husband, of course, is Jewish, so
yes,
I know all about that.
Yeah, we don't need to know about your new husband's
and
bits. Thank you very much.
I think the man, the rabbi that circumcised my new husband was the one that did Prince Charles.
This is not a set of conversations.
No. I mean, where do you go with that? Yeah.
Well, there was a silence. I mean, silence on the radio is never a good thing. Twitter's gone bonkers.
I wonder why.
There's lots of chats with greyhounds because, of course, you're off next week and I am.
And I'm going on my holidays.
Yeah. And you'll be listening in, though, won't you?
I probably will.
Probably, if you can get the Wi-Fi out there.
If I had hair, I'd be pulling it out going, don't touch that button, you stupid woman.
I know.
She's doing the show on her own next week, and the last time she did that, it drove me potty.
Well, nothing worked. But hang on, I've just heard you do a little false start today.
Yeah, no, something went wrong at the start. I don't know why.
You see, but when you do, it's fine, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it wasn't my fault.
But if I do it,
well, you press the wrong button. Yeah. I didn't press any buttons. It for some reason, it started playing the news, and I don't know why.
Gremlins. Anyway, we've had lots of texts, even though everybody's on holiday. We've got the lovely Stephanie Young, who was tweeting earlier. She's based in Cape Town, but she does social media for all sorts of big companies and all across the world. She's not just she doesn't just tweet about South Africa.
No, she's lovely, Steph, and she's a regular listener to the show.
Yeah, and she was tweeting about Women's Day.
It's Women's Day in South Africa today.
Yeah. But I sort of joined in because although
did you see her other tweet asking for a shout out though?
No, I'll have a look now.
Yeah, okay. Well, while you're looking for that, shall I read a tweet from Chips and Dinks?
But what I wanted to say before you interrupted was that Stephanie Young in Cape Town, I had some lovely Khoisan tea, honeybush Khoisan. They click when they talk their dialect. I can't really do it. cotton. But it's a sort of, she'll tell you, it's like a click they do.
Adita's looking at me, I'm looking at her, we're just shrugging our shoulders, don't know what you're going on
and
about.
And when I was driving, I was listening to a local radio station, and all the presenters were going, clicking while they spoke.
Right. So I guess that's Swahili, isn't it?
No, it's all sorts of people do it. Coulson. And also,
anyway, what's the point you're trying to make?
I can't remember.
You can't remember,
something
can
about
you?
My tea. Oh yeah, it was lovely tea. It was from the honeybush, very nice, caffeine free from the honeybush in South Africa. Right. And so I need to go back to get some more because I've run out.
Yeah, you do.
It's very pleasant.
Yeah, do you want to go now? Are you going to wait till the end of the show?
I'm gonna have some pizza before
I go. Chips and Dinks have tweeted, it's lunchtime, it's Vanilla Web and Jewel Serkin, and they're probably eating pizza. Yeah, we actually are. Yeah, they get all the best jobs. It's the Business Bunker Show, and we're looking forward to listening. So thank you. That's Bev and Tony at Chips and Dinks. Give him a follow on Twitter. Martin Reeves, Collector's Buddy. You've got a very interesting lineup on today's show, but I'd much appreciate a Business Bunker shout out, please. Well, Martin, consider yourself shouted out. Martin runs Collector's Buddy. He basically buys and sells collectible items and donates the profits to charities.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's great. And he gets he puts very interesting pictures. I must show my Yogi Bear one day.
So is that some kind of euphemism?
I don't know. I just know you're in that kind of mood.
Yeah.
Stephanie Young, I have found her tweet. One of them.
Yeah.
She says, I'm so jealous. I'm listening to the two of you bantering and I'm in stitches.
Oh, Steph, have you been hurt?
No, I think she's laughing.
Right.
And I hope so.
I've got the tweet that she actually sent.
Oh, okay. There's another one, is there?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It says, have a brilliant show, Paul. Please can you give... Amplifily.
No mention of me.
She wouldn't mention. Why would she mention
that's
you?
That's awful.
Amplifily digital. This isn't easy to say. Amplifily digital. A shout out. It's a Twitter handle. It's amplify with an LY on the end, basically. Digital, one word. Amplifily.
With your
digital.
Teeth, it would be difficult.
If I had my own teeth in, it would be much
easier.
You've
got the horse's
teeth. I borrowed the teeth that I've got today.
Yeah, they're lovely, but they're good for eating pizza.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got.
I bought pizza teeth with me.
Yeah, you scoffed at least half a box before I even had a look in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I know we aren't local, but we work with clients in the UK who are local and would love to offer a special rate to anyone listening to the Business Bunker Show today. If they're interested in taking us up on this offer, they can email me at Stephanie, with a PH, at amplifilydigital.com. Let me spell that, because I can't say it. It's amplifilydigital.com. Amplifilydigital.
Yeah.
Thank you, Steph.
You do sound like you've got a little lisp when you say it.
A lisp.
Lisp. Tenderton Chambers listening in, and they would like a little shout out. They're obviously based in Tenderton in Kent. This is, you'll find them on the Twitter, Tenderden, that's D-E-N at the end, Tenderden, Chamb, C-H-A-M-B-1, and it's the official tweets from the Tenderton District Chamber of Commerce, and it's the chairman, I think, tweeting.
It is indeed. The M Farmers Market say, Paul and Jules, we'd love a shout out, please. It's International Farmers Market Week this week.
Oh, well, I love a farmers market.
And we're giving a little bit of background on our Twitter feed around our farmers markets. We end the week at Lenham Country Market on Sunday, the 14th of August. Why not give them a follow on Twitter? Their Twitter handle is M Farmers Market. That's their Twitter handle, all one word, M Farmers Market.
I just had a swig of my tea, which is it's a Dorset tea, which is normally I really like it, but after the pizza, it's wrong. Tea and pizza, no, that's all wrong. Now, a little glass of something. Tenderton Chamber is requesting, because he's going to be my co-presenter.
Terry's co-host. I'm away next week. Jules is presenting the show, and it's going to be co-hosted by Terry Thorpe.
Yeah, and he's saying, will there be pizza next week?
No.
You know, I mean...
No, she didn't plan the guest list at all well for next week.
Although I have got Wasted Kitchen on. Didding.
Okay, they might bring food.
They may.
Well, you've got Age UK on as well. They might bring you Meals on Wheels.
They could well do, yeah. Age UK, Herne Bay, I think it is coming in. The lovely Charlie. That was a good plug for the show, isn't it?
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Tenderton Chamber have also said, looking forward to another fact-filled, not fat-filled,
oh, we could do see fat field. We could fat fields are easy.
Yeah. They're looking forward to another fact packed Bee Bunker show. They've used the Bee Bunker hashtag with Vanilla Webb and Jules Serkin. How about a shout out for an avid listener and sponsor chairman? And then he's got lots of Twitter things there. So that's at Tent Chamber, Tent Social Hub, Potters HD, DG East One, and a few others.
Fantastic. Paragon Drones, hi Paul and Jules. We're going to be flying somewhere in the blue wide yonder, so we will catch up with the show later in the week on Thursday.
So
have a great time.
Is that the drones?
Yeah.
So they're not flying on a drone, I take it.
Well, I was a little bit thrown by this, because normally they're flying their drones, because that's what they do every day.
Yeah.
But I'm assuming they're going away somewhere, is what I'm actually assuming.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if they're going to South Africa, if they could get me some... Well, Colson T.
Well, they have hashtag cheesy tunes, so he is going to wait for the cheesy tunes, I think.
And Will Scobie, there's a question for you, Will, here. This is from Horizon Scan on the Twitter. They are Horizon Scan BCP for Peter 1. Mm. And they're saying, ask Will about his surprising interaction with the Chase star, Paul Sinha, from John in the Office. So John sent that.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. So when you're on air in a minute, we're going to ask you that. What is the Chase? Is that a competition, isn't it? I think my mum watches that.
It's a quiz show, yeah.
At 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
What
my
is it?
Mum and my
a quiz show.
The Chase quiz. My mum and my youngest, Shay, are wild about it. My mum's 91, Ruth, and my son's 20.
He's not. Her son's not 91.
26, he is.
Yeah.
But they're wild about it. They watch it all the time.
Yeah.
So Paul Sinha, we're going to ask you all about that.
We'll ask him about that in a minute.
Yeah.
you look like you are.
He looks like a rabbit in the headlights.
Yeah.
I think John in the Office is going to be trouble when Will gets back.
What's On in Kent have been on. Hi, Paul and Jules. Hello, Business Bunker team. Please, can you give What's On in Kent a shout out from the Cave Hotel?
Oh, the Cave.
Mm.
Lovely. I went to the launch of that.
I was at the Cave, you know, the cowgirl, Korean cowgirl restaurant?
In Canterbury.
Yeah, it was part of the Cave.
Oh, yeah.
Bought under Blean.
Yeah.
We had our Fruitworks 10th anniversary party there just after Christmas.
Mm.
Yeah.
I wasn't very invited.
Nice. Well, you don't work for Fruitworks.
No, I should have. If you'd have given me a notice, I'd have got a hot desk and shuffled along.
I'm sure you would, yeah. Just so it cost me 700 quid for the ones that were there. I didn't need you eating me out of house and home as well.
I'd have brought it down.
You'd have been happy with a little bowl of Korean chicken wings.
And I'd have just had, you know, one or two Proseccos.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe
you
a
would.
Cover.
Yeah.
I went to the launch of the hotel and I saw their gymnasium. It's kind of strange, isn't it? It's all, what is it? Sort of like
black.
Meccano. It's very dark in there. It's very masculine, actually.
Yeah,
I found the rooms lovely, but a bit masculine for my taste.
Mm.
Bit butch.
Interesting.
Martin Reeves, collector's buddy, says, thank you for my shout out using the Bee Bunker hashtag. I love a bit of Yogi Bear.
Do you?
Yeah.
Better than the average bear.
Boo boo.
Boo boo.
Yeah.
You have to be a certain age for that.
Yeah, I know.
Mm-hmm.
We've lost these young things.
I know. Right. Shall we do some cheesy tunage?
Yeah, let's. Is it about pizza?
No, because they're not the first guests on, are they?
Oh, I see.
Will's the first guest on.
You stick to such a very strict regime and schedule, don't you?
No, it's called planning, Jules.
Yeah.
It's called pre-production of a radio show, rather than just, you know, I'll get there and just do whatever I think about as it comes into my mind.
Yeah, eclectic, my
which makes
show.
It kind of difficult to plan your way through.
Mm.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Well, are you going to get this tune?
I don't know.
I doubt it.
Oh.
Normally, Jules can name any tune in what, you know, within seconds of it coming on. So, as well as picking a cheesy tune that has some tenuous relevance to Will, I also try to pick something she'll never get. Yeah. But, you know, see what you make of it.
To annoy me.
See what you make of it.
It's kind of 80s.
Yeah. If you get the artist, you're there.
I have to wait for him to sing.
Yeah.
It's very 80s. Maybe a bit of Al Green or someone.
No, it's a bird.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
A bit of trumpet in there, though. A bit of brass.
Mm. People see different
things when they look on the horizon. Oh, it's a spice.
It's Mel C.
It's the scary spice.
It's Mel C, and it's on the horizon.
I know, because she's a bit...
Of course it is.
She's a bit screechy, but good tune.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we turn her off now?
Yeah.
Independent financial advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially-minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back, that was Mel C.
Yes, it was.
On the horizon.
Yeah, never heard that song.
Nor have I. Do you see what I did there?
I did. Yeah. I was very impressed, and so were the guests. It's great. I was going to read a tweet, but I think you want to introduce Will, don't
well,
you?
You
get a bit confused if I try and change the format.
You try and change the format of the show, yeah. And then I have you to come like over that. And sort you out.
Yeah.
You know, this has all been set up so that we can talk to Will.
Yeah.
And you've got a tweet that we need to read out to Will again, because
yeah.
I want to find out the answer to this question.
Exactly.
But for all of that, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show for the first time Mr. Will Scobie of Horizon Scan.
Thank you very much.
Winners of the Customer Service Award 2022. And we'll talk about that in a moment, but let's get this tweet out of the way.
Yeah, so in the office says, ask Will Scobie about his surprising interaction with the Chase star, Paul Sinha.
So we were in an awards ceremony mm-hmm. for resilience, and the compere for the evening is this comedian and Chase star, Paul Sinha. Right. And he does a routine, and at the end of it, he says, I select one person in the audience to be my bachelor of the evening. Mm-hmm. Basically, because he said, I've spent 35 years of my life being single, so I'm going to choose somebody. And he just starts reading out all these details from this person, because he's got an eidetic memory.
Right.
He's basically looked at all of my social media, memorised it all, and then starts reading facts out about me.
Wow.
In front of about a few hundred people. It was a bit of an out-of-body experience watching somebody. I went and saw him afterwards, and he was saying to me, oh, that cricket game you went to in 2017, who won?
Wow.
This person follows you, they also follow me. How do you know them? It was impressive. Probably the smartest person I've ever met.
Wow. Really? Well,
hold on. There's a few questions that arise here.
Yeah, Will.
Yeah. As the bachelor?
Bachelor, so a potential future husband of his. I am married. Yeah.
I was going to say, you got a wedding ring on here. What's going on here, Lynn? I bet your missus was pleased with that.
He chose me. I didn't choose him. So.
Yeah, but did he sort you out?
Well, no, he's a very nice man. Very right. amusing. Yeah.
Okay. That kind of thing is really clever, isn't it? Being able to memorise a lot of facts about someone. I used to work as a motivational speaker. And when I still had a memory, which was a long time ago, my party trick was to memorise the names of the entire audience. So I'd kind of just run down and go, John Smith, Will Brown, Rachel Smith, you know, go through them. I couldn't do it now, but because there's a technique to it, obviously. But it's clever, isn't it? Because you think, wow, how do they know all that? But it's basically a memorisation exercise. Yeah.
Well, yeah, my memory's shot to pieces as well. Yeah. I agreed I'd do a shout out to people in the office. I'm trying to remember who's actually in there now. It's all of like 20 minutes ago. Yeah. Do you mind if I give a shout out?
No, you go for it, mate.
Just to say, I hope you're still working, Pat, Hannah, John, Jolie, and Stephanie.
Yeah, well, John won't be, will he? Because he's fired. Because no, you told me you were going to fire him for sending that email. Yeah,
I've already threatened him with that three times today.
Sorry, John. Yeah, you're out, mate. Right, let's get sensible now. Let's talk about Horizon Scan. So first and foremost, we'll start off by telling us what it is you do.
So we help other businesses. We are consultants helping them around business resilience. So helping them when things go wrong. Some of the risks that we look at are fire, flood, cyber attack. And essentially, we support businesses to understand what could go wrong in their business and then put plans and procedures in place to stop that from happening, essentially.
Okay, can I ask a question now? So you're looking at risk potential for a business. Presumably, you try to do this before it's happened.
Yeah.
Do you offer a service after it's happened? So if I got hit by a cyber attack or if my building got flooded, is there things you can do then, or is it, you know, front loaded?
It's mainly on the preparation side. Yeah, obviously, we'd always be happy to help people and advise them.
Yeah.
The majority of our work is
to stop it.
Yeah,
you being a problem in the first place. Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember going around America in 2016, about 12 months after I joined Horizon Scan, doing pandemic exercises, and every business working with going, we're never going to need this. Why are we
never
doing
gonna
this? And then years later, you realise.
Yeah. So what sort of things were you doing for the pandemic exercise, Will?
So this was an Ebola exercise when, if you remember, Ebola was, everyone was terrified of it. And despite the fact I don't think there were any real case numbers in America, people were worried.
Mm.
So we were going to manufacturing businesses and giving them a scenario of saying, this could happen, right? You've lost 30% of your workforce.
Mm.
You're losing people every day. You know, there are restrictions around on what you can do.
Yep.
How would your business respond?
Yep.
Which at the time felt like a real stretch in terms of scenario, because normally it's a fire or a flood, an impact on the business, which is much more tangible. Just going into a room with people saying, right, you third are no longer here. How does the rest of the management team respond? But actually, with what's happened over the last couple of years, it really brings that risk alive. Because that's the thing with how our industry, how businesses have got to get better. A lot of businesses weren't prepared for the pandemic, despite the fact it was top of the UK risk register.
Was it?
For a number of years. It was the number
one. What, this pandemic?
Yeah.
This actually a pandemic.
You know, if you think about it, you know, over the years we've had swine flu, Asian bird flu. There's been all kinds of things that people have said, millions. BSE was a great one. You know, 500 million people were going to die of BSE. So,
yeah.
You know, as it turned out, it was only two, but, you know.
But that's down to, you know, both. Potentially the threat not materialising, but also the UK being very prepared for this.
Exactly. I mean,
having things like the Civil Contingencies Act in place.
Yeah.
So you had rapid response. But this was top of the risk register.
Wow.
We were training businesses in it. But you speak to, you know, other businesses who might not necessarily be thinking ahead like that. Mm. I mean, even if you go back 10 years ago, remember when we had the Icelandic volcanoes?
Yeah.
That, again, was very high on the UK risk register. But when it hit, who was prepared for that?
Exactly, yeah.
So a big part of what we do is to work with businesses to think about what can go wrong and to put plans in place. And we work internationally. So in my 7 years at Horizon Scan, I think I've visited everywhere except South America. Not every country, but... and we work with lots of different businesses across different sectors, manufacturing, pharmaceutical, telecoms, and it's... It's really interesting because even though businesses are structured differently, you may be in different areas of work, the challenges you face are very similar.
Mm. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah, go on.
Many years ago, back in the 80s, I was a senior executive in a bank and I was in charge of IT. And one of my roles was IT security. And the National we're an American bank, so we came under National Banking Examiner rules. Once a year, you had to prove resilience to a complete terrorist attack or failure of your data center. So you had to have an off-site disaster recovery backup. And what would happen is the National Banking Examiner would ring the bank at any given moment and go, "Your data center's just been wiped out by a bomb explosion. Go." So it was like a live exercise, basically. One Friday afternoon, that happened. What you had to do was bring a branch online to prove that it worked, right? And we had all these procedures in place, and we had a branch lined up to do it. So it was all called in. I got all the stuff I could. I went to our backup disaster recovery center. It took us ages to get all the data center up and running. We got it all up and running. But to prove that we had to have a branch come in and do a number of functions. And the branch that I'd stupidly selected to do it was our Belfast branch. And Dennis Kavanagh, hi Dennis, I hope you're well. Dennis, who was the branch manager at the time, I called him at home and said, "Dennis, there's been a disaster. You need to go to the office and you need to do the following 7 transactions." And he went, "Okay." And I never heard from him again. And 5 hours later, I'm ringing his home and his wife's ringing in tears. He was kidnapped on his way to the office to do the disaster recovery, taken over the Irish border and dumped in the Irish Republic.
Wow. So when things can really go wrong.
Yeah, so that was really exciting, I can tell you. Okay, so give us a bit of background to Horizon Scan and your involvement with it. At what point did you get involved? What's your role there?
So it's quite an amusing story how I got involved. So the business was founded 10 years ago. It's actually our 10th anniversary party on Friday.
Right.
We're holding it at Canterbury Cathedral. So it's sort of 10 years in the making. It was set up by husband and wife, Russ and Ursula Timpson. And I joined the company 3 years after it was set up in 2015.
Right.
Now, without getting into politics, I used to be involved in politics, and myself and Russ both stood in the general election in Thanet, and we were candidates against one another. And as we both lost on election night, as we were walking out, he says to me, what are you going to do next? And I said, "Well, I don't know." And he said, "Well, do you want to come work for me?" And then here we are 7 years later.
Wow, so okay.
Bit of a strange
story. Do you still argue?
Well, occasionally, yeah. Well, Russ sold the business to the employees in 2020.
Okay, so a management buyout.
Well, it's an employee buyout.
Right, okay.
So we're 100% employee-owned. The company is owned by an employee ownership trust, which essentially means the company's held on behalf of all of the employees. And if we ever make any money, that will be given equally to the employees. So it's quite an interesting structure. It's also set up with, I would call it, mutually assured destruction.
Right, okay. Because
the employees elect trustees who then act as the bosses to the directors.
Right.
So I both line manage people who are also technically my boss.
Boss,
so
yeah.
It sort of works. But, okay. Yeah, right. It's an interesting structure.
Okay, cool. So just on that, what happens when you take on new members of staff? Do they automatically get plugged into that structure?
Yeah. After a year, they become a co-member.
And what happens when one leaves?
You don't take your ownership with you.
Yeah, okay. I'm just checking that I just wanted to make sure you've got all those things sorted. Cool. Okay, so 10 years, you're helping businesses with their risk and resilience. Now, you've won an award, a customer service award. For me, customer service is one of the top awards to win because, you know, you've got to impress your customers. You can impress people with numbers and figures and all the other stuff, but if you impress your customers, I think that's the most important thing in the world. So why do you think it is that you won that award?
I think Horizon Scan has always been heavily focused on customer service. Our complete ethos as a business is to make other businesses and organisations more resilient. And a lot of our staff have come from the emergency services, people who have studied this for a number of years. And they bring this as a passion, not just as a vocation. So we're not just a consultancy company, you know, trying to sell our advice. We're going much further than that because you have people in the organization that have really seen the impact of disasters, so know how important planning is. I think the thing that's changed for us in the last couple of years and how this probably relates to a lot of your listeners is we're in a very hard insurance market at the moment, which means everybody's insurance costs are going up.
Yeah.
Not only is investing in your risk and resilience a really good thing to do, it can actually lead to you getting better insurance at a cheaper cost.
Sure.
So I think part of the addition that we've made to our services in the last couple of years is to engage with every business we work with, brokers, their insurers, to understand how we can not just put good work in place, we hope, but also hopefully to you getting better mitigation via your insurance. And I think it's that care and attention that our team have to try and constantly look at different ways to add value, which is why I'm very proud of them and why I think we've won this award.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. I mean, because what you're implying here is that what you're doing is trying to help businesses cope with something. Without being rude, quite a few consultancies in those kind of fields spend more of their time trying to scare the bejesus out of a business in order to generate money. You go, oh, you're all going to die. Yeah, unless you hire us, you're all going to die. Yeah.
Do you know there's actually a Dara O'Brien sketch where he talks about business continuity. He said it's just a bunch of former security and military guys going into the businesses, scaring the bejesus out of them.
Right.
You're going to die from a giant wasp attack, you know, sort of thing.
So, yeah, exactly.
I completely agree with what you said.
Yeah, and that's a problem. So, you know, being recognised by your customers is a massive, massive thing because you're clearly not doing that. Yeah, you're clearly helping them structure their business and mitigate the risks as best you can.
Yeah, and that's not just us sort of saying that, you know, and we appreciate sort of the judge's feedback on that. One of our clients is a $22 billion engine manufacturer based in America that we've worked with now for 8 years. And last year, they chose us as their indirect supplier of the year, bearing in mind they've got 15,000 suppliers, probably some of the biggest companies in the world they work with. And little Horizon Scan, based in East Kent, was selected as their indirect supplier of the year. So we're very proud of that, because that's recognition for all the work we've done.
And quite right, too. And quite right, too. Talking about that, that's a big multinational corporation. Is it something that you can offer to small and medium-sized businesses as well?
Absolutely. And it's again, that change I spoke about before in the last couple of years is understanding how we can bring the knowledge that we have as an organisation to smaller businesses. We work with a couple of the largest insurers in the UK. We're specialist partners with them. And they refer a lot of their clients to us. And they tend to be businesses we can support, you know, 100 to 250 staff members, you know, 50 to 100 million turnover. And we can add a lot of value. As you go down that spectrum of services, you know, there comes a business that can learn the principles of it, but doesn't necessarily need a plan in place for everything.
So
from our perspective, we're a Kent business. We want to help fellow Kent businesses.
Sure.
We're involved in the various chambers of commerce and want to give that intel and ideas back to the community.
Absolutely. Okay, I want to kind of look, if we may now, Will, at some of the things that you've already highlighted that on the headline risk things like pandemics, volcanic explosions and stuff like that, and there's obviously terrorist attacks and
floods.
I beg your pardon?
Floods,
yeah.
I was thinking locusts.
Plague of locusts, yeah.
Boils.
Yeah. all of those kind of things are fairly obvious, and they're all external, yeah, so they're not under your control, as it were. Yeah, you know, they're things that just happen in the world, and yes, they have a massive effect on you, and yes, you have to plan in case some of those things happen. Do you look at things that could happen internally as well as a risk?
Absolutely, things like talent shortage.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest risks that we're talking to clients at the moment is inability to recruit staff.
Which is a thing at the moment.
Yeah.
And there's also, you know, as a business, we try not to focus on specific risks necessarily when writing response plans. You need to do your risk assessment and understand what your key risks are. But any plan should be built to deal with whatever the scenario is. Because there will always be one you haven't thought of. The one that I always love chucking in with a client when you go and first meet them. So you go through all the doomsday scenario, and then you say, right, what's your most key department? Okay, so it's IT. Right, what if your IT department are part of a lottery scheme? And they'll win the lottery, and they leave tomorrow because they're all now millionaires.
Yeah.
How would you deal with that? And that really flummoxed people because it's completely left field. But it sort of evidences the point that once you've thought about the risk that could go wrong, you have to plan and train your team to be able to deal with whatever's thrown at you.
I'm smiling because he's learnt from the geezer from the Chase, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Because I run a kind of IT company, and I actually had someone that won the lottery.
Really?
Did you?
Yeah.
Wow.
Quite a few years ago. Yeah, she won £5 million on the lottery.
Wow.
And
did she live?
She did. It was difficult because she came to me and she said, I've won the lottery, what should I do? And I went, don't do anything at the moment. Sit and think about this before you do. Don't start chucking your jobs in, because they hadn't told anyone else. And I said, you've got to work out whether you want to tell anyone else or not. Because once it becomes public, you know, family, friends, people you don't know are going to start asking you for money. And that becomes difficult, how you manage that. And she went, yeah, okay. I said, so what I suggest you do is you get some advice, yeah, on how to handle the money before you start throwing it around, chucking your jobs in or anything. Anyway, that lasted about 2 days before they bought 5 new cars, a new house, and both quit their jobs. And, of course, we're now being funny. Sorry, Jack, I hope you're okay now. But it ruined their life. They eventually emigrated to Australia because they couldn't cope with the pressure anymore.
It often happens, doesn't it, that they get divorced and, you know, get this money.
It's just people, it was family begging for money and people going, oh, you know, you've got loads of money. Why can't you give me £100,000? I need £100,000 for this. And it goes, yeah, you know. It's funny because that's a kind of, I know you never mentioned that, but that's a risk as well, isn't it, for someone, you know? Yeah, what would I do if I won a lot of money? You don't see that as a risk, really, do you? But it can be.
It's also because we operate internationally, you get risks in countries that you wouldn't expect. So we have a client in South Africa, we have a client in India, and when they completed their risk assessment of the top 5 risks, one of their top ones was snake bites.
So right,
opening a crate with parts in it, and you get
they need a snake charmer. You can get them in India.
Yeah, but also going to America and you know, armed aggressor is a massive risk for every business.
Yeah,
or tornado warnings. So it's both understanding what are the risks that will affect every business, and also looking at local risks that impact them as well.
Absolutely. It must be fascinating what you do, looking at those kind of things.
When I first joined Horizon Scan, our largest client was a massive Irish dairy company.
Right.
And because of what we do can sometimes be quite complicated, I used to tell people that I'm going around America burning down dairy plants. That's essentially what we were doing. Or at least symbolically,
Can I ask, I mean, I'm kind of fascinated by do you work this stuff out just intellectually? You know, do you just sit there and go, okay, there's a company here in New Mexico, what could happen? Oil spills, earthquake, plague of locusts, you know. Do you just sit there and think it through, or is there some kind of risk database that you can go and look at and go, you know, if my business is in X industry based in such and such a geography, what are the likely things?
I think there's a mixture. There's definitely local risks that you can look at.
Right.
And there are registers and organisations, including like the World Bank, Business Continuity Institute, who produce regular reports with risks.
I guess Lloyd's of London as well will do stuff.
Insurance market will produce a lot. But I'd say the biggest source of information is actually speaking to people in the business themselves.
Right, okay.
So many times people understand the risks they're dealing with. They're the things that keep them awake at night.
Yeah.
And actually it's by talking about them together and understanding the impact, the likelihood, and how you might mitigate it, that is probably one of the largest parts of our data gathering.
Mm.
You know, the people that are listening here at the moment, many of the moment, their businesses, they know where the risks are. They know where the problems are. They know the things that are stopping their growth. Our job is not to come in and lecture them. It's to work with them.
Sure.
To listen to where those risks are. Challenge them. Look for other things that could impact them, but work with them to come up with those plans. And yeah, many. I don't think there's a single business we've gone into that doesn't have something.
Right.
And all we do is work with them to try and pull that into the best sort
of. Because I'm assuming that a business that wants to engage you has kind of thought about it a little bit themselves already by saying, you know, we could be exposed to some risks here. What do we do about it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That which makes sense. Well, it's fascinating talking to you. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. A huge congratulations on winning the Customer Service Award 2022. Thoroughly deserved. If people want to find out more about Horizon Scan, what's the best way to do that?
The place where we probably interact the most with people is on LinkedIn. So
right.
You can find us at Horizon Scan. We've also got our website, which is horizonscanbcp.com. That's bravocharliepapa.com. The best place, as I said, is LinkedIn to sort of engage with us and get a response.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for that. Congratulations on your award. Keep on keeping on with what is a fantastically interesting business, both in terms of what you do and also this unusual structure of ownership that you have as well, which is quite unusual. Because it's not even a cooperative, really, is it?
No, it's very similar. And, you know, it's something that potentially, you know, other businesses should be looking at. I mean, if essentially what we had was we had an owner who had built the business to the point where they wanted to exit it, and how the government has set up this employee ownership scheme to give people a tax efficient way to exit the business and for the employees to take it on. So it's a wonderful scheme. If anyone wants to learn more about it, it's the main organization that runs it is the Employee Ownership Association.
Right.
But it's a great way for people to exit a business, give it to the employees sustainably to run, and for both sides to walk away in a tax efficient way.
Okay, so, cool. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. I'm sure people will be interested in pursuing that as well. For the moment, Will, thank you so much. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But Will Scobie, Horizon Scan, there you go.
Thank you.
You're a big risk to me.
you're an even bigger risk. Had quite a few tweets coming through while that was happening.
Mm.
And Horizon Scan, it must be John, listening very diligently in the office.
Has he found a job yet?
Yeah, he's still looking. Our blog that talks about the Great Resignation. So they have a blog and he's put the link to that on Twitter. So you can find them, as I said before, on my phone is playing up on Horizon Scan, B for Bertie, C for Charlie, P for Papa, 1 on the Twitter. And their website, which we've read out, is horizonscanbcp.com, and you'll get lots of information on there. And they're based in Kent, but obviously they work everywhere.
Mm.
So thank you for that, John and team in the office.
Cool. Kind of in line with risks and things happening, Athol Brayer sent me an interesting tweet to start a discussion.
Mm.
And they say, Happy Business Bunker Day. Here's one for you. Should new builds have the ability to siphon drainage for grey water, that's bath water, shower water, sink, which could be either then reused or recycled? It can't be that hard, surely, given the climate is changing Isn't this an easy solution to the drought? That's the question they've asked.
Very, very good. So they're saying, should all new builds be have this ability to siphon off the grey water?
Yeah, what they're saying is you should separate, not rainwater, separate
your what's washing
grey water from poo water.
Yeah.
Yeah, basically.
Well, my friend Ken Lloyd,
yep.
Who we know well, he's been on the Business Bunker. He's a graphic designer. He's retired now, of course, but he still does a bit. He bought a new build in Herne, which is just outside Herne Bay. It's a little village. And he that has siphoned the grey water off and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, the problem here is, this is my view on it, we're trying to address a problem that doesn't actually exist. Great Britain is an island surrounded by water, and it rains 200 days a year in this country.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, all these people talking about...
Not only that, the United Kingdom is the biggest exporter of desalination plants to the world. We don't have a problem with water. What we have a problem with is keeping it anywhere.
Well, they don't build reservoirs.
The water industry has not built a new reservoir in the United Kingdom since 1991, and in that time... the population of the UK has grown by 18%.
Mm.
And also, of course, the infrastructure, the pipeline infrastructure for water, continually leaks.
Yeah, and they leave it
and it's patched up badly. We talked last week about Stobmarsh and the problems there, where all building work in East Kent has been stopped because of the toxic water waste issue at Stobmarsh. And they've now come up with a typical politician solution to the problem, which is to issue toxic waste credits.
Yeah.
So now you can pay to make the water toxic, as you pay a fine in advance.
In other words, a backhander. You want to see droughts, go to South Africa. We were talking to Steph earlier. I was there when they had their droughts about, six years ago. And we were in a very nice boutique hotel that we often go to in Constantia. And you couldn't even run a bath. Yeah, you know, that is a drought.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing.
Many years ago, I was involved with Water for Africa in Uganda, drilling wells, because there literally isn't any water. And that's what makes me mad about the UK. Well, we've got more water than you can shake a stick at.
When we were in lockdown or around that time, I've got a dog, as you know, and walk every day. And I had to buy, for the first time ever, and I'm quite old, a proper raincoat, a proper wax coat down
to my
things.
Did you buy a plastic mat?
No, a proper wax coat, like hunting, shooting, fishing, and Wellington boots.
I'll tell you what. Do you remember? My mum's 93. She used to have them. When the old
Pack-a-Mac.
No. They used to have those hats. The little plastic hats.
folded up into
a strip, and then you unfolded it, and it was a plastic raincoat.
I remember those.
You seen them? Yeah.
They don't have them in Poland. I'm sure they don't.
Well, of course they do.
We made them out of the paper, when
you're little. Well, honestly, every time I walked the dog in the winter, which was two winters ago, it poured. It absolutely poured with rain.
We have 200 days of rain a year in the UK.
It's bonkers.
That's the figures. Yeah. The problem is we don't capture it anywhere and we don't feed it properly and we don't do
things properly. Do you remember my photos of when I was in Rutland in lockdown when we were camping, and they've got a beautiful reservoir there, which is a hole, you know, I don't know how many miles.
It's a hole in the ground.
It's huge. It's a hole. And, you know, it's a wildlife
The same with Stobmarsh.
The swans on there and everything. Yeah. It's beautiful. Yeah. But, we need to stop putting sewage in our sea. It's outrageous. I mean, you live in Broadstairs. Do you swim in Broadstairs?
Not often, actually. Okay. Although I was at the beach last week.
You've got lovely beaches there, sandy. There's one just there. I don't know if it's near. It's a little bit further along. But there's that awful pub, the Digby, the Lord Digby or something.
Captain Digby,
thank you. But it's all right.
It's a lovely pub.
Well, it's the grub in there is a bit. But, you know, it's great for a drink. But I love that beach because it's dog friendly and I can take my greyhound and let her off and she just goes bananas. But that's a really nice beach to sit on. And you've got some really beautiful... You've got sand, we've got pebbles.
But outflows of sewage is the same water companies that are letting us down, you know, because water and sewage are delivered by the same companies.
Yeah. Sheppey had no water for a week or something, two or three days.
Yeah.
Well, they were delivering bottles of water
in this area. It's Southern Water. Southern Water is owned by Green Sands Holdings, which is owned by JP Morgan and two other banks
Pots
and an
money.
Investment company. the trouble with all of that is they don't spend their money on the infrastructure and investing.
They just pay it all out to their shareholders.
Yeah, I mean, but...
And themselves.
You know, I mean, I'm a
so free... So should we not have privatised?
I'm a free market person, but I really do struggle with this over privatised water. I'm really not sure how you expect that to work. I really can't see how you expect it to work. Mm. You know, it's important that we have both fresh water and removal of stuff. I live in a house. I don't have mains drainage. I have to get rid of my own waste.
Do you?
Yeah,
that's the way you walk. Carry on. Yeah. I've just been told off by Intune PR for mentioning circumcision. He said have it made you? Him feel a bit goosey.
Did he?
Yeah.
Well, you're right, Darren. Oh, yeah. If it makes you feel bad, I have to work with her. Yeah.
So, your house, do you have a cesspit? Or?
I have septic tanks at the moment, which are illegal now. No. I am allowed to use them because the house is Victorian and they were built when the house was built. I'm allowed to use it, but I can't sell the house.
Ever?
No, I can't. If I try to sell the house, I have to put in a water treatment plant before I can sell the house.
That's a bit tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you know, eventually I will
put in a water... I know what I was going to ask you. Yeah, it's just come to me. My young son, Shay, has got a little house. We got him on the ladder. And then he pays an extortionate rent in Greenwich, but he's got a little house in Whitstable that he rents out. Mm. So Mimi, his lovely girlfriend, is now going to buy a house. So she's a first-time buyer.
Yep.
And her and Shay want to try and buy a kind of quite a rough first one-bedroom flat in Greenwich. Because
yep.
You know what the prices are like. So he's not a first-time buyer, but she is. Mm. But she forfeits it because she's buying it with him.
Right.
So if we've got any mortgage advisors, I'm outraged. So they've got to pay 17 grand, but she is a first-time buyer. So if there's any mortgage advisors that can help about when you buy with a first-time buyer, but the other person is not a first-time buyer, why does that first-time buyer have to forfeit it? It's not fair, is it? Plus, they're paying student loans at extortionate.
They've just capped that, haven't they? Yeah, have you seen
have
that?
Have they now? Tell me.
Yeah, yesterday they decided to cap student loan
repayments. But what, 12%?
No, whatever it is at the moment.
6%, I think it is.
Yeah. No, they've capped it now. They said because everything's going up, they realise that, you know, the student loan repayment rate going up would kill everybody even more than they're killing everybody
between
at the moment.
Between the two of them, I think they owe £86,000.
Yeah.
Plus they're paying nearly £2,000 rent in Greenwich.
Yeah.
It's crazy. They've got great jobs, but I wouldn't want that hanging over me.
The daft thing about all of that is, of course, with my youngest son's 27. He lives in London. He lives in Hoxton. You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And he pays ridiculous amount of rent to live in a dog kennel.
Yeah.
And he's trying to buy a house at the moment. And
London?
In London. He's trying to buy a one-bedroom flat in Dalston. They want £650,000 for a one-bedroom flat.
That is crazy.
And, the mortgage broker just goes, you can't afford the repayments. He goes, but I'm already repaying.
Exactly.
I can afford the repayments. That's what I pay in rent.
Yeah, well, that's what Shay and Mimi are paying more in rent.
Yeah.
But the one-bedroom flat they're looking at has got mould, it's got no garden. It's crazy.
Free-range vegetables.
Yeah. But, so if there's any mortgage advisors listening, do tweet me or DM me and we'll put you in touch with Shay and Mimi.
Mm. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom in a minute. When we come back, we've got two lovely people to talk to about pizza. Yeah. And whilst we're away in the newsroom, I'm going to eat some more pizza. No, I'm not, Amanda. I'm not really. I'm just saying that.
I am. Yeah. I am. You've got to try the Honey Dover. And what was the first one called?
Eat Meat Repeat.
Eat, meat, repeat. Well, you were certainly repeating.
I absolutely love that. And I could certainly eat, meat, repeat. Yeah.
I like
as often as I can.
You?
Yeah, I love it.
But I'd rather, let's get on to the news and just scoff a bit.
You're desperate now, aren't
I
you?
Am.
You want to get those pizzas, don't you?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to the lovely folks from On Pizza.
If only you could say their names.
Say
it in Polish. Go on.
Adam. There, see, now you do Adita. Now you do their surname.
I don't know, I haven't read it
yet. Yes you do.
That's not fair.
Yeah,
I have to write it down first phonetically.
Yeah
and then practice.
Never easy.
Krausaut. Sauerkraut.
Right, anyway,
Polish sauerkraut is really, really nice.
We'll find out in a minute. Right, we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to these lovely folks.
I haven't heard the news today.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.
Channel Radio News Update.
A dire new prediction forecasts energy bills could hit £4,400 by next April. Experts at Cornwall Insight tell the rise by around £200 more than previously thought between October and November this year. Then the